Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. The Human Technology Podcast is back from summer vacation. This is the return to fall, return to autumn episode of this podcast. And I will use it to talk a bit about my summer vacation, where I was and what I did and what I learned. And of course, I will mirror that into things like mobility, like human driver to car interactions, and automotive technologies experiences I made there. So I was in Ireland, which is in the northwest of Europe. It's an island. It's divided into two parts, the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is part of Great Britain, whereas the Republic of Ireland is an independent country and member of the European Union. It is a wonderful, beautiful country. It's very green. I mean, it's an island in the Atlantic Ocean. There's a lot of rain. It's never really hot. It's never really cold. And everybody says it's raining there every day at least once, and very often and regularly. We were very lucky. We had nice weather almost the entire time we spent there. So 2 weeks we were up there. The last day and a half was typical Irish weather with rain and wind and a bit chilly. But we enjoyed it. And it's beautiful landscapes. You have beautiful cliffs you can see there, green lawns, tons of sheep and cows and other cattle. White beaches. I mean, it's a bit cold. I haven't been in the water, but yes, it is. It is very nice. You can take long walks on lonely beaches and beautiful, nice cities. We've been in Belfast and Dublin and Galway, which is a very, very nice city. Rural areas, national parks. So we saw all that, and we had a rental car, and we used that to travel on the island. And so it was a bit of a different summer vacation that I had this year. Instead of being in Spain and Mallorca and hanging around on beaches, and that was a different thing this time. What both kind of vacations had in common was the nice food and the nice drinks. I mean, Irish pubs are well known wherever they are on the globe, but there are also Irish pubs in Ireland, and they're very nice places to have a good beer and to meet people, and very friendly, very open, the Irish. So yeah, I totally loved it. I will talk about three different things that I experienced there. One is the fact that, and you will find this out when you get to the airport and into the rental car company, the Irish drive on the left side of the road, opposed to the vast majority of Europe, of continental, all of continental Europe, where we drive on the right side. The Irish, like the English people, the British people, like on Cyprus and on Malta, former British colonies, They all drive on the left side, and the rest of Europe drives on the right side. So we in Germany, we are used to sit on the left side of a car and drive on the right side of the road. And I want to discuss this not under the aspect of wrong and right, but under the aspect of left and right. And it is about the automatisms that we have. So we as humans act widely automated. And you experience that when you sit in a car where everything is the other way around. The second thing is an intercultural, cross-cultural issue that I experienced. That is the way traffic works in Ireland, which surprised me a bit, but many things are quite different. Behaviors are quite different compared to Germany. So that is one thing I want to talk about. And then we used Apple CarPlay all the time, and everything that we did in navigation and media was done through Apple CarPlay. And I will talk about my experiences there, and about what I would call a cognitive dissonance. It's not so much the real scientific cognitive dissonance, but I experienced that. And I will explain later in the podcast what I mean with cognitive dissonance connected to Apple CarPlay. So let's start with driving on the left side. My personal experiences with that had been very limited. About 25, 30 years ago, I spent a summer vacation in Cyprus, where they drive on the left side, and I had a rental car there. So that was my basically only experience. I mean, I traveled to Thailand, where they drive on the left side. I traveled to Malta, but I've never been driving there. Same with London. My time in Oxford in Great Britain, but I haven't been driving there. So my only driving experience before flying to Ireland was the vacation almost 30 years ago. And if you enter this car, everything at first sight feels wrong. Everything is somehow wrong. Even entering the car is somehow wrong. So if you open the left door, which is the passenger door there in these cars, You have difficulties getting into the seat because you are missing the steering wheel. Now, we are all using the steering wheel when get into a car to get into it. If you do the same exercise on the other side, if you open the right door of that car, it feels like the steering wheel is just in your way. It's not anyhow helpful. Which shows me entering a car on one side is one thing. Entering the car on the other side is a totally different thing. And the steering wheel is helpful on one side, and it is disturbing on the other side. That was the very first experience I did. So I was not able to get my feet into this car because my wife was driving the first time, the first 2 or 3 days. So I was navigating. I said to her, everything, the car itself and everything about 3 meters around you, that's your thing. And everything beyond that, that is my thing. So that I will tell you what to do. And that's how we solved that thing. And it worked out very well, by the way. And I was sitting on the passenger seat, but I just was not able to anyhow get into the seat. Anyhow, elegant. You know, it was always non-elegant entering that car. Once you're driving, it always feels like you're on the wrong lane, particularly if you're driving alone. If there are other cars around you, you pretty well understand, okay, I just have to follow the car in front of me, and so then I'll be okay. And then the other cars are coming on the other lane. But if you're alone, it feels like, hey, I'm on the wrong lane. If somebody comes from up front, he or she will be exactly on the same lane as I am, which is wrong because the other cars are on the other lane. And another point is if you enter a roundabout, and there are many, many roundabouts in Ireland, you have to look to the right to see the oncoming cars. And you have to give them way. I mean, that's the idea of a roundabout, that if you're in the roundabout, you have the right of way. And if you enter it, you have to wait until there is a gap in traffic. And if you drive on the right side, you have to look to the left. And in Ireland, you have to drive on the left side, and you have to look to the right. to see the cars correctly. And all these are automatisms. These are automated procedures that we have learned over the year. And these are not only not useful, but you have to override them. You have to not only ignore them, but you have to replace them with new procedures, with new automated procedures. First, they are not automated, they are conscious procedures. And you have to override all what you have known and all the procedures that you are using. Maybe you remember your first driving lessons, the first time when you were a beginner as a driver. You had full focus on driving. You needed all your cognitive resources, all your mental capacities to drive, to make the gear changes, to use the steering wheel the right way, to analyze what's happening out there on the road, and who's doing what, and where are the dangers, and what do I have to do, how do I have to behave, and you cannot do anything else. In the very beginning, all you can do in a car is driving. And after a few years, you can listen to music, you can talk to the passengers. Some people even believe they can fiddle around with their smartphones, which we should not do. But you have this, over time, driving gets more and more automated. And there are psychologists out there that claim that we spend about 90% of all time in some kind of automated mode. So that our entire life, everything we do, or almost everything we do, is almost unconscious. So we have very limited focus on what we do all day. And this can, you can blame that. You can find this negative, but at the very end of the day, it makes life much, much easier. Imagine that if you just walk from, if you stand up from your seat and just walk around a bit, and you have to coordinate every single muscle, you have to think about everything, a single thing that you do, that would make life very, very hard. What we usually do is we make the decision, I'm going to stand up, then you're going to stand up, and now I'm going to walk a couple of steps, and then you walk a bit around in the room, and then you can use the time to think or to read or to watch TV or whatever, to do different things. So all these automatisms, all these automated procedures, make our life much, 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 much easier. And the idea behind this is that we have higher levels of the human brain, higher areas, higher parts. And these so-called higher parts, they are the conscious parts. This is where you process information consciously. And they eat up enormous amounts of energy, of resources, of focus. And then if you start learning a thing, driving a car, playing a guitar, dancing, then these things become more and more automated and are moved to lower parts of the brain and become automated and more unconscious. And then it's easier to do this. It's easier to drive when it's something you have well learned and you have a lot of automated procedures, because then you can listen to music and talk to the passengers and do all these things. And this, I started driving at the age of 18. I will be 60 next year, so you can calculate it's over 40 years of driving. So there's a lot of automated things in there. Now, suddenly, you are driving on the other side. You're sitting on the other side. The steering wheel is on the other side of the car. And it took us about 3 to 4 days until it worked pretty well, until you started getting used to it, until you started building new automated procedures, new mechanisms in your brain. And we experienced that this is a very dangerous transition phase, because you believe you have everything under control and you lower your focus, and suddenly the old schematics, the right side of the road driving schematics, they come up, the old reflexes come up again. And suddenly you're driving on the wrong side, and suddenly you're making a left turn, not a tight turn, but a white turn. So this is happening in this transition phase. After the return, when we returned back to Germany and started to driving on the usual side, on the side we are used to driving on the right side, that was a very quick return. Well, every now and then I'm still looking into the left when I'm entering a roundabout. That is very seldom, and I find this funny. It's not anyhow dangerous because I realize right away, oops, that was wrong. Look into the right, not to the left. So sometimes the Irish automated procedures come through, but you get back to the old scheme pretty soon. So I learned in this area a lot about what automatism means, what automatism in driving means, automated driving procedures, and how much easier they make certain things. Second point, traffic in Ireland. So it is an intercultural experience you make there. This is why I said you're educated when you're traveling. Traveling educates. So we have this saying in Germany, Reisen bildet, meaning if you travel, you're educated. And culture, you experience culture only when you are in a different culture. You don't realize your own culture if you never leave it. And everything is just normal. It is just the way it is supposed to be. It cannot be anyhow different. And then if you travel and you see people doing different things or the same things in different ways or behaving differently or seeing things different, having different opinions, and then you suddenly realize, okay, yeah, so I have a couple of schematics in my brain, a couple of standards in my brain, and that must be cultural. Well, that's culturally driven. That's part of my personal culture when I believe this is just the right way and this is the only way, and suddenly experience somebody is doing it somewhere else. And so culture in this means are rules and behaviors that groups have in common. So in this case, a group is the Irish and the other one are the people living in Ireland, and the other group here is the people in Germany. And I'm very often annoyed about traffic in Germany, particularly in the last couple of years. I feel like it's becoming more and more hectic. The discipline gets lower. People don't take red lights serious anymore. Pedestrians, anyway, they don't do this too much. But even car drivers don't respect a red light. People are squeezing in to your lane. They are not supporters. They are not behaving empathic by leaving gaps to leave you in or let you crossing somewhere. But this is a growing thing that I feel is happening in Germany. Ireland is clearly tougher than that. There are more people squeezing in. Red traffic lights are, particularly for pedestrians, not more than, let's say, a common recommendation. Yeah, so basically it's red and it feels like that there could some car approaching, but I will walk anyway. This is how they behave. And car drivers pretty much the same. And this is for the pedestrians is one thing, but if you drive in a city and you have a green light and the pedestrians have a red light, you still have to take into account somebody could cross the road right now. Be ready to brake and not trust. Do not trust that they don't walk just because they have a red light. And the funny thing here is, if you are in a traffic light in Belfast, which is in Northern Ireland, they have these push buttons that you push, and there is a sign on it that says, wait on red, on green, cross carefully. Reality it is, they carefully cross on red and they walk on green without looking left or right. That is the difference between what public authorities want you to behave and what people are actually doing. Something else that I learned in Ireland is driving on tight roads, on bad road surfaces, particularly in Northern Ireland. The road conditions are not that good, and The roads are pretty tight there. And very often you have a road where two passenger cars just fit on, and suddenly you have one of these big buses, one of these big coaches coming towards you, and you have to do something. And I mean, these guys, they don't move, or if it's a big truck, and then you as the passenger car driver, as the stupid tourist, you have to find a solution. And usually there is a solution by, I don't know, driving into a side street or squeezing your car into the bushes on the left side or whatever. So that there are always solutions. This is what I learned there. There is always a solution, however tight this road may be, and however the space is missing there, but it works out at the very end. Somehow there is a solution somewhere, and trusting in there will be a solution is something that was one of the learnings I had there. Here on Mallorca, I am at the moment here in Spain at Mallorca. We have a pretty similar situation. Some of the roads are very narrow, and you have to squeeze yourself through sometimes. But it's even worse in an island. My learning, what I take back from that is, I find traffic in Germany now far easier to carry, far easier to understand, and I just find it okay the way it is, because I know in a not too far away country. I mean, Ireland is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours flight from Germany. It is totally different and even worse, and that gives me a good feeling. It's not that bad as I may see it. Okay, third thing, and then I've talked about a lot about Apple CarPlay, and I made my experiences with this. We used it for 2 weeks in a row. We drove all the time with Apple CarPlay, so all the navigation, all the media, all the phone calls, everything was done through Apple CarPlay. The first connection, I found it extremely lengthy, difficult, complicated, complex, not easy to understand. We had a small SUV of a Korean brand, and yeah, it was not easy. It was not clear of what to do, what the next steps are, and what can I do on the smartphone, what do I have to do on the head unit. At the end, it worked out. We did it when we took over the car, when the car was handed over to us at Dublin Airport. We fixed everything, and before we started, and so we had a navigation active when we left the rental car facilities. But as I said, it took us a couple of minutes to connect the phone to the head unit. After that, connection problems occurred regularly. We entered the car in the morning, and car and head unit were ignoring each other. They were just not connecting each other. They were connecting in the wrong way. They had problems in connecting the audio, and yeah, things like this happen. So at least once a day, there was a serious problem. Suddenly, navigation didn't work anymore. Suddenly, you were not able to do turn on a new playlist. Suddenly, yeah, we parked the car, took a 2 hours hike somewhere, returned to the car. Car and head unit or smartphone and head unit were not able to connect anymore. This happened roughly once a day. And one thing that nobody says you up front, and that we experienced, is it works, it only works when you have a mobile network and when you have GPS data. If you do not have this, then this system leaves you alone. And very often these are the critical situations. You are somewhere in the middle of nowhere and you need a navigation. It just doesn't do anything. There are no maps and there is no route guidance. You cannot find a destination because there is no network connection. Another example, when we were in Belfast, we wanted to drive to the north coast of Northern Ireland, and we were parking in a parking lot, a closed parking lot. So I turned on everything, as I did it every morning on my smartphone before we left the hotel room. I put in the destination and activated route guidance, and usually, yeah, we get into the car, and this is a good thing about this. It transfers it from the smartphone right into the HAT unit, and you can drive right away, and everything is active. The right playlist is playing, the right navigation is turned on, so everything is good when you do this. And we left the parking lot in Belfast, and it had serious GPS problems. So it located us somewhere. It calculated a route, it recalculated a route, because it's put us something, I don't know, 300 meters away from where we are. And yeah, then I started driving just to catch a GPS signal. And I was driving. I'm not telling you any bullshit. It was true. 15 minutes through Belfast in some direction. I don't know, is it right or is it wrong? Is it correct what I'm doing here? And we were driving and driving and driving, and the system was recalculating routes and putting us somewhere in a city, and then suddenly there is no GPS signal, and then it puts us somewhere else, believing there is a GPS signal, but it was wrong. It tells us make a left here, but there was no left road at this time. And it took 15 minutes to put us into the right position and to do a useful route calculation, a useful route guidance to us, so that we were able to driving to the national park we wanted to drive to. Another thing I found out is when there are areas without a mobile phone network, which is okay, this happens, and this system has a problem there. The big problem there was you drive there and you park your car somewhere, you turn it off, you disconnect smartphone and head unit, you carry around the smartphone, you return after an hour. The smartphone and the head unit have forgotten everything. And if you want to reactivate your route calculation, it is not possible. I mean, I just wanted to reactivate the active one. But it said, no, I don't have any destinations, I don't have any network, you cannot restart the route calculations. And this is what I mean, is when you need it most, it leaves you alone, that you cannot use it anymore. Yeah, so if you disconnect it, it forgets everything, and then if you're in a area without any mobile network, you have a serious problem because you cannot restart the route guidance. Another thing where I believe, guys, this is not very useful as far as user experience is concerned, is Ireland is using the metric system, meaning they have kilometers and they have kilometers per hour, they have meters, and Northern Ireland is using this typical British mixture of imperial system and metric system, meaning they have miles, they have feet, they have yards, they have miles per hour for the speed, so they're changing that. And this is a fact, and I don't complain about this one. The behavior of the route guidance in Google Maps with Apple CarPlay in this car was the following. You were crossing the border, and you don't see this border. You only see this on the map. They are extremely carefully that you just don't see the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Never ever say Southern Ireland, by the way. Yeah? So I said, someone said in a pub to a guy, yeah, and then we'll go back to Southern Ireland. This is not Southern Ireland. We are the Republic of Ireland. All right, so Republic of Ireland. And if you cross this border, first you don't see a difference. And suddenly you find out, okay, the traffic signs look a little different. And, oh, it's miles per hour. The navigation remains, if you drive from Ireland to Northern Ireland, remains in kilometers per hour, remains in kilometers as it is, which is okay. When you then start a new navigation on the premises in Northern Ireland, on Northern Irish soil, then it is in miles per hour. Then it uses the imperial system. And on the way back, it's exactly the same. So if you drive in Northern Ireland, you have miles per hour, you cross the border, it remains in miles per hour. And if you then restart the navigation, it turns to kilometers per hour. From my point of view, there are two behaviors that should be there, the two possible behaviors. One is, I'm driving with kilometers per hour and it stays in kilometers per hour forever. It is okay, not a problem, and if I want to change that, I have a button somewhere, I have a switch that I can turn and say, okay, good one, I'm doing this. Or, this is the alternative, which is also good, it always adapts to the country you are driving in. Meaning, if you cross a border, like the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, then it automatically switches from kilometers per hour to miles per hour. This is also one thing that I find acceptable. But the behavior you have in Apple CarPlay here in Google Maps is not acceptable. That you remain with this one until the next one. Probably there is a technical reason for this. And this is exactly how many negative user experiences are created. Oh, we have a technical limitation and it's super hard to solve, so we don't solve it. We leave it to the user. It's a user problem and he or she can solve it and that's it. Forget it. All right, so I worked off myself again on Apple CarPlay. I've done this a couple of times in the past, but this time it was so obvious where the bugs are. And I can say, hey, guys at Apple, you want to enter the entire car. You want to write automotive software. You want to take over the automotive dashboard with software. Get your homework done. Solve these basic problems. And then come back and then we can talk about what we can do together. All right. As said, there is a cognitive dissonance in this. And I know that Apple CarPlay is far from perfect. That there are many, many problems connected to this one. But the functionality is so good that I always use it. When I came here to Mallorca, I got accidentally a car of the same brand, almost the same car here in Mallorca. And the first thing I did is connecting Apple CarPlay. I mean, I had 2 weeks of not so good experiences with this technology. And the first thing I did when I got into it, connect it and use it. And I did the same with a German high-end SUV when I was in the States early January, when I it had a full navigation, full media system internally, but I connected Apple CarPlay, or at that time it was Android Auto, and I used that, knowing it is not good. And this is this cognitive dissonance, the indulgence, the sweetness, the easiness of some parts of this entire thing, carrying my destinations around it, preparing everything up front in my hotel room, bring it into the car, having everything available that is mine in the car. That is so sweet. That is so seducing that you just do this. And when I get into a car and it has Apple CarPlay, I get into it and I activate it. Sorry for that. All right, that's it. The first, after summer episode of the Human Technology Podcast, I will return to the bi-weekly rhythm. I thought about changing that, but I don't have a real reason to change it. So I hope it's okay for you that I return to this bi-weekly rhythm. The next episode will be more content, less personal. But I had the feeling that I need one of these episodes and I want to have this in my podcast. If you have an idea on what I could talk about, if you want to hear my opinion about certain things, if you would like to hear what I think about this or that, then send me an email. Say, hey, Peter, I would like to hear in one of your podcast episodes this or that. Then I'll pick it up and I will talk about this. Write your email to podcast@beyond-hmi.de. podcast@beyond-hmi.de. Then I will receive this and I will set up a couple of episodes with whatever you want me to talk about.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.